Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Crucify for Christ Ministries. Welcome. If this is your first time listening to a sermon on this website, welcome. My heart desire is to preach God's word, to encourage others out there to recognize the pursuit of Christ and to live that crucified life. And if you're joining, first time hearing this sermon on this website, of course there's sermons, and I post afternoon devotionals not every day, but about four times during the week, and or five times. I try to post them, at least five, and you can check those out and if you're looking for some for encouragement. Also, there are some Bible studies on this website. I haven't done one recently. I've been doing in-house Bible studies, so I haven't had a chance to pray over one, see where God wanted me to, what book He wants me to go into, and break and do a full Bible study in a book. I can't remember the last one we did, but you can click on there. I know we went through Genesis, and I can't remember the other book we went through in the New Testament. So you can check those out, and of course, the sermons. This week I've been looking at Daniel, right? And Daniel 3 is where we're going to be in. For this week, for this sermon, for this week is Daniel 3, 1 through 30. You know, look at trying to put a title on this sermon. I just come across several titles, but I can't help but think of, or to say, or to put this title on this is, there's another in the fire. There's another in the fire. So Daniel 3, 1 through 30, we're going to read all these scriptures, and there's a lot of them, so it's a lot of reading. You guys may be familiar with this set of passage. It's dealing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furious furnace. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it in the plain of Doran, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, and the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. Then the princes and the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king that set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Then a herald cried out loud to it, is commanded, O people, nation, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psalter, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whosoever fall not and worship shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psalter, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, the language fell down and worshiped that golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, king, has made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psalter, and the dulcet, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever fall not down and worship this should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, O king, have not regard thee. They have served not thy gods, nor worshipped the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, It is true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image that I have set up. Now if you be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psalter, and dulcet, and all kind of music, ye shall fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast in the same fire in the midst of this burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that will deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace. Or the fiery furnace, this fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke, he commanded that he should be that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wrought to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery, the fiery furnace, the fieriest furnace. And these men were bound in their coats, their hose, their hats, their other garments were cast in the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of this burning, fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. He rose up in haste, and he spoke, and he said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said, O king, king, true, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men, guys, who's walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no harm, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning, fiery furnace. He spoke and said unto Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors, being gathered together, they saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair on their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trust in him. have changed the king's word and yield their bodies, and they may not serve nor worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I made a decree that every people, nation, language who spoke that speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made dunghill, because there is no other God that had deliver after their sort. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we just come in your presence, anoint me with your spirit to speak what you need me to speak. Those that are listening at the sound of my voice, open your hearts to the message that God has laid on my heart to preach. Don't turn a deaf ear to the message. These messages can get uncomfortable sometimes. I get uncomfortable preaching them because the Holy Spirit just urges these sermons through me. His will, not mine. His name glorified. My name may never be lifted in a billboard. It may not be known across America. But my name does not matter in the contents of this world. The only name that matters is Jesus Christ, and that he knows my heart, he knows my desire to preach the truth of God's word regardless of the cost. I want to hear one day when he calls my name and calls me home, all I want to hear is him to tell me, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." When my name is called from this world, and many may not ever remember who Jonathan Ritter was, and they don't have to. I just pray they see Jesus Christ, and I pray that you feel the same way. Our names don't mean nothing. It's about, do they see a difference in our lives? Do they know that we walk to the sound of our true master, the true, one true living God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Is the same God that we serve. He changed not. He is the same today, and he will be the same tomorrow. He is faithful and true. Through his word, he is truth. And when he tells us of his promises for his children, you can take that to the bank. Let us keep walking through those paths that God has laid out for us. They're rough. Hard to step into those paths that God has placed in front of us. But brother and sister, no, you do not do this alone. If you are a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit, and he will guide you, and he will direct you. Stand strong. Realize this life is only temporary. And one day, when our time is called, our true life will begin. And that's a life that will last forever and ever. The everlasting life, infinite plus. A million years won't even be a dot on eternity. It will be millions and millions and millions and millions of years, millions and millions forever and ever. We're blessed to have 100 years on this earth, and that is such a dot compared to the place that He has for us when we move on. But we're still here. That means He still has a purpose. If we're still here, it means there's somebody that God needs us to reach. Hold on, my brother. Hold on, my sister. Know that you don't walk this road alone. The Holy Spirit will be right there with you through the ups and downs of this road, this path. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Oh, this passage, this Daniel 3, this book. I preached on Daniel 3 a few times. I probably will preach more before the good Lord calls me home. I draw strength from these scriptures as we should. For scripture is an anchor of our soul. God is that anchor. He is our solid rock. I think of that hymn that says, because if the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. When it's built on His name alone, right? There's nothing going to shake that ground. Oh, brother and sister, I pray that you have the solid foundation, that rock that we should be standing on. We stand firm in the scripture. We stand firm. Satan can do nothing with a man or a woman that is standing firm on God's truth. And the truth that is found in the scripture. Because within His word we can draw strength. Within His word we can become unmovable. Through the storms in life may come, if we stand anchor on the rock, the storms will not affect us in a negative way. Why? Because our eyes are firmly placed on the master of the storm. The master that can calm, give us peace and joy within those storms in life. Everything may be crumbling around, but we look up and we know that God has a purpose and a plan for everything. Don't lose hope. Don't lose joy, for that's what the devil wants to take from you. When we look at this passage, these scriptures on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you have this king here, Nebuchadnezzar. And he is a king over Babylon. And when we look at the history of Babylon, it was an immensely powerful kingdom that Nebuchadnezzar was over. And if you ever get a chance to read through Daniel, you know, you can flip back to Daniel 1 and work your way up here to Daniel 3. But Daniel when you start deeply doing an intense study, it takes you throughout God's word to fully grasp Daniel. But in chapter 1, what we see is Nebuchadnezzar, he has a dream, right? And Daniel interprets this dream for him when no other could. And when Daniel does this, he gains favor with the king. And in this favor, what we see is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He asks them to be put in leadership positions, placed over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon. Now, here in 3, we don't really know where Daniel's at. In reality, it truly doesn't matter, because this is not Daniel's trial that he has to go through. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? This is their trial. This is their fiery trial that they have to face. I'm going to tell you, my brother and sister, we will face trials in this time, through this life. One of sad deception that we roll over on our kids is to tell them, if you become a Christian, everything will be okay. The life will be a bed of roses, and the rose will be so smooth. I want to tell you, if you've been a Christian for a while, you know better. Why would you lie to a child? Shame on you. You should be able to tell them also that in this life there will be ups and downs. There will be challenges that will rattle you to your core, because you are a child of God. You don't get immunity from the trials of this life. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would agree. And man, if you look throughout Scripture, Peter would agree, Paul would agree. Why would we lie to our children, telling them, all you got to do is say this little prayer and everything's going to be okay? Yeah, in the end, it will be okay. Meaning this life, when it's up and you are a child of God, it will be okay. But for now, it rains right on the just. It rains on the unjust. We live in a corrupt world. It's not God's fault, it's our fault. Quit blaming God. But He gives us strength to continue. But here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and know that all eyes are on them right now, right? In this Scripture. And guess what? All eyes are on us when we're going through something in life. How we respond to it. All eyes are on us. And here is Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They're in a high position. All eyes are on them. And they're about to get tested. And here, Nebuchadnezzar, he has a statue. It's made of gold. It's about 90 feet high. 9 feet wide. Very large statue. It's built on the plain of Duran. It was flat. Think of an airport. Very level. Not very hilly or valleys. But so the statue can be seen from miles. Here in Nebuchadnezzar, he's very proud of his statue. And he's getting as many of people together to clap their hands, to give praise, to give worship. If you really think about this, just think about when somebody had in politics, right? When something's going down and the politics are out there, and they want to make sure everybody sees them. When they're doing a dedication, they'll invite all the television stations they can, CNN, NBC, Fox News, etc., so they can get all eyes and say, look at us, look at what we're doing. And Ezra's like this. He's bringing everybody because he wants to say, hey, look what was done, and look at my honor, and I want to be worshipped. And he said, he gives this decree, he said, when the music is playing, I tell you guys, y'all will worship. If you don't, there will be consequences. You'll be thrown in this fiery furnace. And here comes the music, right? Here comes the worship. And guess what? All the enemies are watching. And they see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These guys will not bow down to this image. And enemies come up to the king and they say, hey, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, you know, these guys that you have placed in charge, they are not bowing to your image, the golden image. And here, Nebuchadnezzar, he is enraged, right? He has anger issues along with pride issues. He commands them to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he questions them. But hey, guess what? They don't back down. Verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter, saying, we are not going to back down, Nebuchadnezzar, to tell you why we will not bow to your image or to your gods. Verse 17 said, if it be so, our God whom we serve. They said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. And don't miss verse 18. But if not. Oh, if we could say that today. But if not. See, they knew God could deliver them from this physical trial they were about to experience. But they said, but if not, they knew he could deliver them in a different way. That is through their death, their physical death. He said, but if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy God nor worship the golden image which I have set up. They knew they were going to be delivered one way or the other. They knew their God could deliver from that physical trial, or he would just take them home, and they were okay with that. We really get fixated on this physical life, right? We get very comfortable in this world. But as a child of God, as a Christian, a true Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ, we should not be comfortable in this world. Never be comfortable in this world, because guess what? As a child of God, this world is not our home. We are passing through. It's about how God can use us to those around us, to be a light to those that if they were to die tonight, lost, would spend eternity in hell. It really breaks my heart to think about those. I have loved ones. And I almost guarantee most of us have loved ones out there that they are not saved. If they die tonight, their souls would be damned forever. Yes, that may make you uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable. I got family members I know that are not saved, and it makes me uncomfortable. I pray for their souls. I pray that the God of this world, right, 2 Corinthians 4:4, as Satan has blinded them, but that scripture tells us that the glorious gospel, God, can knock those scales right off their eyes to the truth. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were very aware of who their God is. In the past tense, you can say was. They're in heaven now. But he still is. Our God does not change. Here in Nebuchadnezzar, he is full of rage. And he commands this fiery furnace, an open furnace. Heat is 7 times hotter. Believed it was about 1,000 degrees. 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit, which is hot. And he has Shadrach, Meshach, bind. He takes his mighty man to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to throw them into this fiery furnace. And this is his best man, right? He loses them because when they get to the fire and they throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they disintegrate. You could just imagine how well Nebuchadnezzar's feeling right now, that he believed that they, just as he's seen his mighty man go up in dust, ashes. Oh, he wasn't expecting to see when he looked in that open furnace, so hot it can disintegrate grown men into ashes. But he looks, he sees there are men walking within this fire. Could you just imagine if you were there and you were with Nebuchadnezzar and you're watching this? You just seen these mighty men disappear, vapors, right? And there in the fire, there are men walking, and there's just not three here. There's a fourth man walking within that fire. Who was that fourth man? I personally believe this is a pre-incarnated Christ in the fire with him. He was right there in the fire with the Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Oh, praise Jesus. He was right there with him. And the king, he says, come forth out of this fire. And when the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego comes out of this fire, he noticed that not even a hair on their head was burnt, nor do they smell like fire. All this made an impression on Nebuchadnezzar. He realized their God that they serve is higher and more powerful than any other gods that he was serving or his kingdom is serving. More powerful than an image that he had created. I want to tell you, our God that we serve, he is still the same God of the Old Testament. Don't let nobody tell you that the God of the Old Testament is not God of the New Testament. He is the same, right? There's another in the fire. See, we will go through things in this life. It may not be as intense as physically looking at a furnace, 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit, able to disintegrate you in seconds. But we will have trials within this life. Never don't think Jesus Christ is not right there with you. Now we know now, and I pray that you do know, that God sent Jesus Christ physically down here, born of a virgin, Mary. And he walked this earth. Most will agree his ministry was about 3 years long. Some may put it less than that, but he walked this earth. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God made flesh. You can start in Matthew, you can read all the way to John. I encourage you to study those Gospels. Memorize the Gospels. But the Holy Spirit. Sorry, my dog is barking in the background. But Sorry about that. I had to move my dog, and she was being quiet, but I guess she decided she wanted to bark. But Jesus, the Son of God, for God so loved the world, right, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever, that's you or me, that believe in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. There is everlasting life through Jesus Christ. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but what the world through Him might be saved. I want to tell you, we can be saved through that. And last week I preached on, there's only one name that can save you. That's the name of Jesus Christ. And I encourage you to go back and listen to that and understand this is the true salvation message that needs to be preached within the church. Right? Those that believe on Him. Believe is a trust, as faith in Him. When we speak of the birth, when we speak of the crucifixion and His death, and when we speak of the resurrection, we truly believe, we confess that within our hearts, and it changes our lives. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit, see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do not have the Holy Spirit as we have it today. The Holy Spirit that comes within our lives. In the same John 3, and you read 1, it goes down, it speaks about being born again. That is the Holy Spirit coming into our life and changing our lives. And the Holy Spirit, that is the Comforter that Jesus has given us. To endure the things of this life. John 14, 16 through 26 says, actually it's John 14, 16 through 26 says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter." Here's Jesus speaking. He said, I'm praying to God that He will send another Comforter. And He, the Holy Spirit is a He, may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. This world cannot receive the Spirit of truth, because it sees Him not, neither know Him. But ye know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while. And the world sees no more, but ye shall see me. Because I live, ye shall also live also. And the day ye know shall know that I am My Father, and ye are in Me, and I am in you. And he that hath My commandments and keeps them, he it is that love Me. And he that love Me shall be loved of My Father, and I will love him and will manifest Myself to him. And Judas says unto Him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that Thou manifest Thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus says this, if a man loves Me, and that is man or woman that's collectively here, this is saying, if those that love Me, right, they will keep My words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make abode with him. He's speaking of the Holy Spirit coming into our life. He said, he that love Me and not keep not My sayings, then the word which ye hear is not Mine, but is the Father which sent Me. For these I have spoken unto you, being ye present with you, but the Comforter, Here it is, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. This tells us that the Holy Spirit operates on a whole different level now within us. And he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, and whosoever I have said unto you. I want to read a little bit more down here. It says, peace I leave with you. Peace I give unto you, not as this world gives. Give unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I am going away and come again unto you. If you love me, you will rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before, come to pass, when it comes to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of the world comes and have nothing in me. The world may not know I love the Father. And as the Father give me commandments, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. This is the Holy Spirit. He is telling those that love him, truly love him, truly have counted the cost. They're all in. They're not backing down. When the trials of this life comes and it rattles them to their core, and they may need a moment, I get it, because I've encountered things in life and I'm not immune. I may still encounter things for this life is over, and you need a moment, right? It rattles you, it shakes you, you're there. I've been on the ground crying out to God, why? I don't understand, God. Help me understand. My heart is broken. Why is this life so hard sometimes? I can feel the pain. Sometimes there's not an answer. The answer is in God's word. Sometimes when I'm in those states I've been, I hear the word endure, endure, lean on me, son, you don't need to know. I take it as that is a, I guess that is an answer, right? Maybe not be the answer that we want. Yeah, I lean on him. The Holy Spirit in me, I lean on the Holy Spirit. How do we lean on the Holy Spirit? We got to get beyond ourselves. And I'm speaking from experience. Because I want to lean on myself. I'm getting better. As God chips away at the oldness and shapes me into something that he can use, the newness, that sanctification, right? That sanctification, that process of becoming more like Jesus and less like ourselves. That is the goal in life, right? To be more like Jesus. Our goal is not to gain the pleasures of this life. This goal of this life is not to get all the trinkets, all the material things of this life. Our goal is to be more like Jesus and to let that light shine through our life. Matthew 5:14 through 16 says, you are the light of the world. We are supposed to be the light of this world, right? A city is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but of a candlestick, and give it light unto all that are in the house. and let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Oh, it's not about you and me. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about the cross. See, Jesus Christ, He becomes that bridge to the Father. For He is the truth, He is the way, He is the life. That's everlasting life. And no one comes to the Father except through who? Jesus Christ. He is that bridge. Oh, He is faithful and just. And He will forgive us of our shortcomings and our sins. Because we fail Him daily. But He will never fail us. Oh, what joy and pleasure is to tell others in this world about Jesus Christ. And I pray that you are like that. You don't go a day without telling someone about Jesus Christ and what He has done in your life. Because He lives right. We can face tomorrow. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Do we get that? What reason we can face tomorrow? We recognize this place is not our home. The things of this world will happen. These things of this world will rattle us to our ground. But we know when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, that trust, we keep our eyes firmly fixed on Him as we go through the trials of this world. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. And that part, them, is referring to those who won't stop the spread of the gospel. And it says in that other part, because greater is He that is in you, that is He that is in the world. See, Nebuchadnezzar, he was trying to, the enemies around, they were seeing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we can't really assume too much on about it, but we know they probably were not very liked. People were watching them. They're in a higher position. They were watching. They were looking for any way to get rid of them. And they were, when they seen this opportunity in Nebuchadnezzar and his pride, Nebuchadnezzar and his envy, Nebuchadnezzar loving himself more than anything else, said they brought this to him about Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, that they were not bowing to him and his gods. Oh, they thought they had them. Oh, they thought the enemy of our world think they have us. Oh, Satan thought he had Jesus Christ, right? Oh, I'll tell you, he thought up on that crucifixion that it was over, but oh Lord, it was just beginning. The gates of hell was rattled when our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And because He rose, we know that we will rise one day, that this grave cannot hold us down. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of the sin is a law. But thanks to God, which give us victory through who? Not us, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because He rose from that grave and Satan recognized his time is limited. He is nothing but a little hamster on a spinning wheel, recognizing he don't got very long. He's already been defeated. Oh, get him out of your life. He don't belong in your life. Rebuke that demonic spirit in your life, for he has no hold, only on the hold that you have placed in your life. The hold that you have allowed for him to oppress you. He only has as much power as you have given him. A man and a woman on fire for God. Will know where their joy comes from. Will know where their true peace comes from. Even when they're looking at the fiery trials of this life, they know it's only temporary. like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego as they stare at these flames. The Bible doesn't tell they were shaking. The Bible doesn't tell they were filled with fear. Fear of man. They had fear of God, right? Oh, fear of God is missing within the pulpits today. They become entertainment stations. True men on fire for God, proclaiming the gospel, fire burning our loins. They don't want nothing to do with these type of men. They want Colosseums filled with entertainment. They want men that will compromise the gospel. They will compromise holiness. They will compromise righteousness to please the crowd. But I want to tell you, there's a time coming, especially here in America, where that's going to end. Those pretending to be something they're not, it's going to end. The line is being drawn in the sand already as I'm speaking. And here in America, I truly believe homosexuality, the LGBT plus agenda, is one of those lines. I don't profess to be a prophet at all. I'm a realist. But I believe here in America one day, those proclaiming messages on homosexuality and LGBT will be arrested within our churches. And this will separate those from those just saying, hey, yeah, we profess this, to those truly that believe it with everything they got. They will look at this world and they will be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're going to stand on truth. We know who our God is. And we know our God can deliver us from this persecution, from this jail time, even possible death. If not, all well. I don't know many preachers out there today that think this way. Sometimes I feel alone, especially here in Louisiana, on standing on those truths. Some will view this as a madman preaching. That could never happen. But just think about it, guys. 10 years ago, maybe, yeah, 15 years ago, say 10 years, just 10 years ago, what do you think I don't know when gay marriage was legalized. It's been a, but would you, maybe 15, say 20 years ago, would you ever have thought of it would be okay for a man and a man to marry and for a nation to recognize that, and a woman to marry and a nation to recognize that? Court of law. And there was preachers back in those days saying, this is going to go down. And guess what? Went out one ear out of the other. Until now, here we are. Craziness. It's how the devil operates. He chips away. Little by little. But the thing is, he's a defeated foe. He knows that his time is is limited, but he will try to cause as much chaos until the very end, for he is the God of this world, right? 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us this is his world. This is Satan's world. God's creation. God created this world. But this world is not what God intended. Started in the garden. God's creation has been corrupted by man, by Satan. And all this has to take place for him, for Jesus Christ, to come back and set it all straight again. And I say all this, we recognize that this world is not our home. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego recognize this world is not our home. And they knew who their God was. And we should know who our God is. Is the same God. And I'm closing this out. I'm closing this out with saying this and several other things. Is when in this life we will have fiery trials. But we need the mindset like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We look at that trial and we recognize that God has that trial one way or the other. Now, we may not get resolution like we want to in the matter. We may think, God, I wish you would answer my prayer this way. And that's not how God operates. He will answer your prayer one way or the other. I don't believe in unanswered prayers. I believe there is the answer yes, may, or yes, wait on it, or no. And that no part is not him being mean. Is that no part is he is trying to create something in you. He is trying to shape you into that child that he needs you to be for whatever that you may be faced, that you may have to face in the future. He's crafting you in the soldier that he needs you to be. As Shadrach, Meshach, they looked at that fiery furnace, that fiery furnace. They recognized this could be it. Their physical life could be up. But they didn't back down. No, they stood on truth. And that's what we do. And guess what? They didn't have the Holy Spirit like we have today. As I was reading over in John, they didn't have that comforter as we have living inside of us to abide in us like we do today. The Holy Spirit that is in us, we should be more less afraid of men and centering more on the fear of God. That reverence, and I preached on the fear of God. Did a series on that, so, and you can stroll down on this website, and I can't remember how I might have preached 2 or 3 times on it just recently on the fear of God. But they had a fear of God. That's a reverence for God more than a fear of man. They didn't care what Nebuchadnezzar was going to do to them. They stood their ground. They knew their God was going to be with them one way or the other. And when Nebuchadnezzar cast them into or he had his man cast, his body man cast Shadrach, Meshach in that fiery furnace, and the mighty man, they just vaporized in front of their eyes. And when met Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're in that fire. And Nebuchadnezzar looks from and he sees that there's four men in there. And he realizes that one looks like as the Son of God, right? And he don't understand what he's looking at. I want to tell you, this world will not understand our God. They don't get our God. And when Nebuchadnezzar and when our government comes calling, we should stand on God's word more than anything else. When our trials come knocking, we should stand on God's word and nothing else. Our faith, our trust in our God. We may not understand what we're facing right now. We may not understand what we're going through right now. And maybe it's not meant for us to understand. I've been through trials, and I probably will go through a whole lot more for it's over with. I know something's coming on the rising in America that's going to rattle America to our very core more intense than COVID-19. COVID-19 is just going to look like a little anthill comparing what's coming on this nation. And most of the people are just oblivious. Their heads are in the sand. Their pastors are keep doing. They're thinking it's business like the same, right? But I'm telling you, no, you need man of God on fire for God, willing to stand regardless of what's coming to hit you with the truth. And yes, it makes you feel uncomfortable. Oh, I don't want that man in my pulpit because he makes me feel uncomfortable. He has too much passion, too much fire. We don't want him in our pulpit. But one day you're going to be crying for men like me, or you may not. Maybe you're already sold out to the devil and don't even realize it. Maybe you have compromised so much, you're ready for the mark of the beast. You're ready to bow your head to the truth, the Antichrist of the end time. Oh yeah, don't think we're going to escape, guys. Don't think we're not going to see the Antichrist. He's going to come and many will bow their heads to the image of the beast. But God always has his few that will not bow to the Antichrist. That will not bow to the government. That will not bow to Satan and his agenda. We will stand firm. We don't care if it even costs our very life. We understand the cost, truly the cost, right? If it costs us our life, so be it. We're going to stand. Because we know there's another in the fire. We stand not because of our own strength, because the Holy Spirit is in the fire with us. We know that He will not fail us. If we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, we will be in tune with God's will. And I pray today that you are in tune with God's will. I pray that you recognize that we will, because you're a child of God, does not mean you're not going to go through things in this life. But you can take comfort, right? And that comfort is the Holy Spirit in us. That peace and that joy, knowing when it's all said and done, when our life is up on this earth, our true life begins. And that's going to be our best life forever. We get so fixated on the trials of this life, we lose perspective tremendously. I pray that you keep pressing on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we close this message out, God, I pray that you just move as you see fit. This sermon they've given me, it'll reach whoever that you need it to reach. But it's all about you, Jesus. Not about me. Not about my will. Lord, I pray over those that may be going through things in their life right now. The devil may be whispering his little lies in their ears, telling them they are alone. But if they are truly a child of God, they are not alone. They have the Holy Spirit in them. And not my opinion, your scripture tells us. He will comfort us. I know there's times where I'm so beside myself on things. Things of this life. As I seek you through prayer and scripture, I recognize I am not alone. The enemy is very good. Satan's very good at lying to us because we want to buy those lies. But we should counter those lies with your scripture. If we are children of God, we are never alone. The Holy Spirit will comfort us. He will guide us. He will direct us. He is the Spirit of truth. It's through our intense prayer life, our diligent studying of God's Word, we draw from that strength. We get beyond ourselves, and we start looking through the lenses of Scripture, seeking His will more than ours. Recognizing there will be trials in this life that will be painful. But there's always a purpose to the pain. There is always a purpose to the suffering. It's to shape us, to sculpt us, to be more like you. Jesus Christ was, when he had to face that cross, it breaks my heart. He had to face it by himself. His own disciples, they were tired and wore out, but they couldn't pray and they fell asleep. He had to face, and you're just modeling. None of us will ever have to experience what Jesus Christ went through. No one. But it tells us that you understand. And you know the pain. Your own people, Jesus Christ's own people, they rejected him. He wasn't even received his own. If we just look at Scripture and really cling to Scripture, instead of looking at the circumstances that Satan has placed in our life to blind us, we look beyond those situations and those challenges and we place them where they belong. At the foot of the cross. Say, God, give me strength to endure. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Love you guys. Pray that you guys are going to have a great week. Once again, you can reach out to me through Facebook. If you're not part of the Facebook, part of my friends, just send me a message through Facebook and just reference this website out, Crucified for Christ Ministries. Also, you can reach me through Twitter. Also, there's an email here. So if you do email me through this website, just make sure you put a good header on there. So if it does go to spam mail, I can find it. If not, then if it goes to spam mail, I probably won't see it. So put something like Crucify for Christ Ministry, got questions, or you can say I got it, or got questions, or something of that nature, something that'll just kind of, maybe it won't send it straight to my spam, maybe it'll send it straight to my regular email. I'm on Twitter, not often, but you can reach me through Twitter. I'm not on Instagram, maybe once a month. So those are the ways you can get a hold of me. Some of you guys have my personal phone number, so you can definitely text me with any questions that you may have with this message, or with any other message, or any questions that you have. Pray that your week is going good. Remember to be a light and to stand on truth. Bye.